us, and you have already gone ahead of us and answered our prayers. But Lord, as we come before you, as we try to understand more of what you are saying to us, as you lead us into new places, Lord, we pray that you would speak your truth into our hearts, and that as I teach this morning, that we may know what it is that you are saying to us, and that we may take it out from here and be able to apply your words into our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'm going to start with a passage of Scripture, and I'm going to ask Craig if he'd like to come up and read for us this morning. Just straight up. Up you get, mate. For those of you who don't know, Craig learnt to read last year when he came to the Lord.
Amen.
You can read yours, you can read that, whichever you find is easier.
You'll read that.
Okay. Let me turn that way. Okay, there we go.
So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people for works of service, so the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measures of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head. That is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament,
very good,
grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work.
Praise the Lord. Woo! And that was a guy who could not read a year ago at all. Praise the Lord. That is just awesome. I just love my God. Everything is awesome. No, it's all right. Okay, we are continuing in our series on thinking about the five ministries, the five gifts in Ephesians 4. You've had some introduction. We've spoken about apostles. I think I spoke about apostles, didn't I? Gordon spoke about teaching. Yep. What else have we had? Scott. Scott did teaching. What did Gordon speak about? Not sure. Did he? Evangelism. Yep. And I'm going to talk this morning about pastors or shepherds. Could you bring up my first slide on the next? Keep. There you go. A pest. A pest. Yeah. Apostles, prophets, evangelists. The S is. I've got the shepherd and teacher the wrong way round. But okay. But it's the same principle. The word used in the Greek, which I'll come to in a moment, is shepherd. But it's also linked with the word pastor, and I want to talk about that in a minute. But a little bit of context. Many of you will have been in churches where the leadership is called the pastor. Yeah, not the pasteurized, but just the pastor. That was a very bad joke, I know. The pastor. And it is a concern to me that we have started associating church leadership so strongly with pastoral work. I would suggest that over the last 1,000 years or more, the church has selected leaders who are focused primarily on just two of those gifts, the teacher and the shepherd. As I say, so much so that we have called our leaders pastors. Yeah? And we have missed out on those top three. Having said that, I would suggest to you that, being a pastor is probably along with the other four, is one of the most important gifts, one of the most important ministries. It's certainly one that the church owns. There are more people who would identify with being a pastor than being, say, an evangelist, or being an apostle, or being a prophet, or being a teacher. And many of you, if you thought about it, your natural inclination would probably be to lean towards being a pastor, to care for people, rather than being, I'm not a Billy Graham, he's not your role model where you're aiming for. You're probably aiming more for Mother Teresa. Yeah? At least if you wanted the archetypal, pastoral, caring person, Mother Teresa would be up there somewhere, wouldn't she? Probably along with your mother. Or maybe not. In my case, maybe not. Okay, just, I'm glad he isn't here because he can't correct me. All right, but can we have a next slide? Poimen is how I think you pronounce the Hebrew. Okay? Poimen is the word that's used in this list to describe shepherd or pastor, one who tends the flock. So that's where we get the shepherd from. But also, it can be translated as superintendent or guardian. Just to give you a little bit of context into the word. But I want to start, if you like, by giving you some characteristics of what a pastor might look like. What are the things that are important to someone who feels that they have the gift of being a pastor? First one, is compassion and empathy. Now, as I have explained when we did the introduction, none of us are one of these exclusively. Not somebody isn't just an apostle and they haven't got any of the other gifts, or they're just a pastor and they haven't got any other gifts. We all kind of overlap with some of them, but we kind of move towards working in one more significantly than the others. And sometimes we actually need to do the others in order to actually be part of what God is doing. But we often, God calls each of us into a significant role at significant times. So at the moment, I am behaving much more like a teacher at this precise moment. But in the kind of bigger picture, I'm actually being much more like an apostle. Though when I was out praying at the front just now, I was being much more pastoral. Yeah? And that, so we all exercise different gifts at different times. I think I'm probably doing more in the apostle role in my general life than I am in the pastoral role. But all of us are called to be pastoral to each other. So I imagine most of you would think of yourselves as being compassionate. Yeah? Would you say that you're kind of compassionate people? Yeah? You have empathy, you care for people around you. Yeah, and I think most of you would say, yeah, I can go with that. No, okay, Michael, we understand. No, I'm with you, Michael, on that one, actually. I have to work quite hard at being pastoral and being sympathetic. Just talk to my wife. I am not really a very sympathetic kind of pastoral person. Some of you may go, no, yes, you are, Phil. Yeah, well, I just come across like it because I have to work at it, okay? And it's not my strength. But a pastor is naturally compassionate. Is naturally empathetic. They have a heart. Yes, bless you. You are, we know. That prayer, by the way, that you shared with us earlier, I'm going to use that overworked word again. It was awesome. Yeah? I mean, just coming, wow. I'm you definitely, all of those pastoral gifts seem to be being exercised this morning, don't they? The compassion and empathy. A compassionate, empathetic person sees the need and actually wants to address it and has the skills maybe to address that need. a heart that is moved by people who need help. They have love for the people around them, express that in practical works, in outworking that love into meeting people's needs. A pastoral or shepherding person is someone as well who provides hospitality. They are people who will welcome in maybe strangers. They'll be the person that people want to go and spend time with because they know they're going to get looked after, who turn up with a cake, yeah, who come with a cup of coffee or a bottle of wine or whatever's appropriate because they know that actually hospitality is part of the gift of God. If you think about it, Jesus spent a lot of time working around food. Yeah? Yeah? Where he met with people, he shared with people over food, over meeting with them. He wasn't in the place where he could offer hospitality himself because he was itinerant. He was walking around. But over and over again, we see him gathering around. When he was feeding the 5,000, where he could offer the hospitality, he did. And he looked and saw people's needs, and he met them. Serving other people, responding to people's needs, particularly in their homes, where we are able to. It's good to be able to minister to people where they are. Jesus, over and over again, went into people's homes. He prayed with people in the place where they are, where they were broken, where they were hurting, where their loved one was ill or had even died. Jesus went into the home and ministered in the home. Hospitality. Someone who is a pastor is someone who creates community. Not just any community, but healthy community. How do they do that? Well, imagine a car trying to run without oil, for those of you who are mechanically minded. Yeah? It would seize up almost instantly, wouldn't it, if it didn't have any oil? When your oil runs out in your car, your engine stops. Well, I would suggest to you, no, it doesn't. What happens when the oil runs out? It's an electric car. If you imagine a petrol-driven car without oil. Thank you, Stephen. Only Stephen. Oil helps the world go round and pass. Do the same. Yeah? Oil smooths things over and enables the mechanical bits to work together. Yeah? And the pastor is the person within the church who enables the church to work together, who smooths things over, who helps with the rough edges and engages people. They lubricate the body. How about that? Not quite sure that would work. They often work in areas of misunderstanding, of healing, of reconciliation, and bring the bits of the body that are not working properly together back together again. They sometimes have a tough job. And this piece of work I'm going to suggest next is one which is often overused, overstated, and open to abuse. I put down there encouraging others, but in Scripture, in that passage we had in Ephesians, it talks about speaking the truth in love. Yes? And those of you who've been around the church for a bit know that speaking the truth in love can either be abused. Well, I just wanted to tell you how much of a sinner you are. I'm speaking the truth in love, sister. Because I love you, but you need to know that you're a sinner. And it can be destructive, can't it? Yeah? So that's what I'm saying advisedly, but I'm couching it in terms of encouragement. Yeah? What we need to be able to do is to actually speak God's truth into a situation, and that doesn't mean destroying someone. It means building them up and encouraging them and making them more than they are. And that even when somebody is a sinner, You need to start with yourself and actually say, yes, I'm a sinner as well. We both struggle, don't we? Yeah. There are all sorts of things that we get wrong. How can I help you to get it right? How can I serve you in enabling you to become more than you are? How can you help me to get my life right as well? Loving communication, not destructive communication. Isn't it amazing that speaking the truth in love has become such a byword for destroying someone? And that is really sad. So we need to watch ourselves when that happens. Often pastors are people who enjoy that one-on-one communication of being there with an individual, supporting them and strengthening them. They're quite often not so good at doing the out the front, speak to a crowd thing. The ultimate goal of all of the gifts, if you go back, can we wind back to the passage of scripture, to the end, the second page. Instead, speaking the truth of love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. The various other versions have it to grow into maturity in Christ. The purpose of all the gifts is to grow mature Christians. Okay? And the pastoral work is exactly the same, to grow mature Christians. That means coming alongside of people, helping them, challenging them. And that is one of the purposes of this church, of this community, of this fellowship, of this body of Christ in this place. We help people sometimes at the start of their journey to take steps that they have never taken before. Sometimes people who've been doing it for a while and think that God is calling them into a new ministry, we'll get them out there doing something new that they haven't done before. We'll engage people. And one of the things is, again, which is wonderful about Junction, is that we can get people out the front who kind of mess up. And we go for it. Yeah? Fantastic that you could take that step. And growing into maturity means that you're going to fall over a lot. And being part of the body, the pastoral work is to pick them up, stick a bandage on, and get them out doing it again. Jesus, coming back down to my other slide, please. To equip the people of God in acts of service to become mature. Next one. I'll come on to, actually, go back up one. I'll come on to that one in a minute. If you think about it, Jesus is the perfect example of all of the gifts. All right? He's an apostle. He's a sent one. He goes ahead to build the kingdom of God in the world. The incarnation means that he's sent out from God into the world, to bring transformation to the world, to bring the world back into God's place. He sets the scene for everybody else who comes after, the sent one. He spoke God's word. Everybody knows that he was a prophet who spoke out what God was saying into the world. He was an evangelist. His purpose was to bring people back to God. He spoke words of truth and salvation into people's lives. Come, all you who are burdened and heavy laden, and I will refresh you. He was the good shepherd. He brought healing. He brought reconciliation. He brought wholeness to everyone who he met. He restored and built up and encouraged and challenged. And he taught. He was a teacher. Stood in front of thousands, and taught them, stood in front of his disciples and led them into becoming more than they were. He exemplified all five of the gifts that he offers to us. And it wasn't just that the gifts that he had were shared with his disciples. He went beyond the boundaries of Jewish people, beyond the boundaries of Israel, in that he led and talked and shared with Greeks, pagans, and others outside of his immediate group. And he calls his disciples to do the same. Think about that amazing list at the beginning of Acts. Phrygians and Pamphylians and those in the lesser parts of Cyrene and so on and so on. That list of countries that he sends his disciples out to. We can see through Scripture various people who exemplified some of the gifts. I think that Barnabas was a good pastor. You do realize, by the way, that Barnabas was actually his nickname. Did you know that Barnabas wasn't actually his name? You didn't know that, did you? What? No. Bar is Jewish for son. That's right. Son of encouragement. Okay. His actual name was Mark. Yeah. But we're told that in the book of Acts. Yeah, we're told that in the book of Acts, but he became known as Bartholomew, son of encouragement, or, you know, the encouraging kid. Yeah? He distributed goods to who were in need when we first encounter him. He saw that there was a need and he cared for people enough to give up what he had and offer it to them. He went on to act as a reconciler between St. Paul and John Mark, who had an estrangement, and he brought them back together again. As I mentioned earlier, one of the modern great pastors has got to be Mother Teresa, hasn't it? Yeah. That's a lovely quote from her. I'm not sure I've got it right. Some of you could look it up and correct me if not. If we forget that we belong to one another, then we do not have peace. Yeah. To be the body of Christ is to care for one another, to serve one another. And if we do not do that, then we have no peace, says Mother Teresa. Look for organizations that are pastorally minded. Yeah. Locally, the immediate one that comes to mind is the Princess Project. Yeah. Their purpose is to bring healing and wholeness and strength to single mothers, to broken families, to people who have need, and they come alongside them and work with them and support them and try to meet their needs. Being a pastor is just about what we do as individuals. It's actually what we do as a body, what we do as organizations, helping hands. Yeah. Exactly the same. They come alongside, offer support and help. The church needs shepherds. And by shepherds, I don't mean people who are going to stand at the front and tell you what to do. The church needs shepherds or pastors, as people are caring and empathetic, etc., and all that list of stuff that I gave you. We need people like that, and if the church is going to grow, we need to exercise our gifts, not just within the body, outside of it as well. We need people who can heal, people who can restore, people who can help, people who come alongside. And it is really important, I believe, that we exercise those gifts. And the fact that most of you will probably associate yourself most strongly with being a pastor shows how important that is to God, that he is raising up more people who are pastor than almost any of the other gifts. And that means that that gift is important to the heart of God. Because God wants to heal our world. He wants to bring people back into reconciliation with himself. He wants to restore. Jesus' manifesto. This is what I call Jesus' manifesto. I've come to open the eyes of the blind, heal the sick, set free those prisoners. Yeah? What? Set free the captives. That's right. Yeah? That's what I call Jesus' manifesto. At the heart of his manifesto is this understanding of caring, of healing, of restoration. It is important to Jesus. But they must not work alone. All of the five gifts need to work together like a hand. All the elements need to come together. I tried to put together a kind of, this is a very rough sort of metaphor for the gifts working together, and it doesn't quite work, but it's close enough, but I'll share it with you. It's an image of gardening, all right? The prophets work out what's best to be planted, having listened to the head gardener. All right? They listen to the head gardener, and he tells them, this is what you need to do. The apostles work out where best it is to do it. They go out there and look for the right piece of ground in order to do the work and arrange for the gardeners to come in and get on with it. The teacher trains the gardeners on how to do it. They tell them, teach them what they need to do and how they're supposed to prepare and the soil and how to dig and where to exactly what plants are supposed to go with each other and so on. The evangelist plants the seeds and reaps the harvest. The pastor is the one who actually does the work. They prepare the ground. They remove the stones. They add in the water and the manure. And they actually do the stuff to make sure that the ground is ready to receive the seed. What are the stones in our lives that need removing? Where do we need to be nurtured and supported and helped? Where can the pastors and the shepherds work with us? They protect the plants, the pastors, protect the plants from the birds and animals that would mess them up and dig them up and eat them before it's appropriate. They help the plants to mature as they help us to mature in our faith. Can we go to the next slide? All of the gifts have weaknesses, without fail. The apostles' gift, and I know this one very well, is that they are always on the other side of the road looking back and wondering where everybody else is. Yeah? You know what people are like when they do that, don't you? You know, doesn't it get irritating? Yeah, when you're going with somebody and somebody's already on the other side of the road. Come on, you lot. But the weaknesses of the pastor are often burnout because a pastor gives of themselves all the time to other people and they end up not having enough left to look after themselves. By the way, if you want any of these slides, we can print them off and give them to you. Not today, but Danny's got them on his laptop, and I'm sure we can print them off and email them to you if you'd like. A pastor is often afflicted by pride. What I am doing is really important. And in fact, it's more important than everything else because actually I'm bringing healing. I'm bringing wholeness. I'm actually getting my hands dirty, looking after people. And that's the most important thing, isn't it? That's what Jesus did. So I'm doing what's most important here. The rest of you need to get behind me in doing this. And often when pastors do it, it becomes all-consuming. And the being a pastor becomes more important than anything else. And in fact, it becomes more important than God's calling to them when they need to actually realize that healing somebody is only one step on the journey to wholeness. Because actually they need their spirit healed as well as their body or their mind. They need to be reconciled to God. They need to come into a faith that will give them life in all its fullness and not just have the stones removed from their journey. A pastor often becomes focused on their feelings and meeting the practical needs that, again, that leads to burnout, it leads to big ups and downs in their emotional life that then drives them into highs and lows, because they are often faced with trauma, with pain, with suffering, which they strive to heal, and those emotions, the feelings, get them down. Sometimes God uses the difficulties, the valleys that we have in our lives to teach us and to help us to learn how to rely more on Him. That isn't always the case, but sometimes those valleys are part of our journey. To recognize, as the saying goes and as our hymn referred to earlier, our song referred to, God is always with us. That lovely story of the footprints. It's when life gets tough that we know that that's when God is holding us. And if we focus on trying to keep on lifting people out of the valleys, because that's our calling as a pastor, then we actually forget that actually it's in the valleys that we need to be more and more aware that God is holding us. Pastors become so inwardly focused on the inner person, on their own inward life, that it drives out all the other things that may happen. People become focused on helping. Sometimes it's others, sometimes it's family. That their self-worth becomes defined by how much they have helped someone. Yeah? That I am only important if I can help someone. And actually, you are important because God loves you. You're important because you are a precious child of God. And actually, what you do is irrelevant to the fact that God loves you. We work out of God's love, out of that abiding in Christ. We don't have to prove ourselves by doing. And pastors particularly are vulnerable to that particular weakness of trying to prove that they're worth something by doing all the time. You could do absolutely nothing and God would still love you. Okay, things to take away. Pastors, particularly, this is for you. If you think of yourself as a pastor, if you have done that little survey I gave you a few weeks ago and you came out with pastor at the top of it, find some friends. Don't do it on your own. Jesus sent out the disciples in pairs. When he went to minister to people, he went with others. So whenever you are doing some pastoral work, don't do it on your own. Do it with others. They can learn from you, you can learn from them. Together, they can hold each other up. find someone who is experienced in pastoral care and work with them so that you can learn with them. But together, you are the body of Christ. Jesus never sent his disciples out on their own. If you can, find people who are part of the team, part of the body, part of the five gifts, and work together as a group. It may be that within your group, there may be 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 of you, 3 of whom are pastors. That's fine. Yeah. But if you can work with people who are exercising the other gifts, that would be the ideal. So that you can learn how the other gifts work, and they can learn how you work as a pastor, and together the body of Christ grows. Look after yourself. Be healthy in body, in mind, in spirit. You're a pastor, you're concerned always with looking after others, but you're useless if you don't look after yourself. Make sure that you have a healthy physical life, a healthy spiritual life. Make sure that you've got time. Jesus took time out to pray and to be on his own, to study, to engage with God. If we're continuously doing, then we're leaving no room for God to minister to us. Your job is to connect people with Jesus, not to yourself. Yeah? Do not create dependency on you. Yeah. If you become the primary carer for someone, there are circumstances where that is necessary. If someone is physically, mentally so in such a bad place that they can't look after themselves, and you're being paid to be their carer, then obviously that's what you need to do. But it is very destructive of you if you work so hard that that person can no longer survive without you. Your aim is to help them to become independent, to be as strong as they can be. And as a Christian, we're here to connect people with Jesus. He is the one who provides the healing, not us. If you're a pastor, look at what's wrong. Discern what it is that God wants to do in that situation, and then serve. See, sift, discern, and then serve. Don't just jump in. You need to discern as well. What is God saying to the person who you are offering to serve? And probably the most important thing that you need to take away from today is stay connected with God. Stay close to God. Keep short accounts with God. The closer you are to your Heavenly Father, and the more you are receiving from Him, the better you will be able to serve others. Last points. I know there's lots of little points today. Next one. This is for all of us, no matter what your gifting is. How can we work better together? How can we, if we are not shepherds, pastors, how can we help them? How can we support them? How can we work with them? Everybody, no matter what your gifting is, are called to serve others. Yeah. We are all called to be pastors and shepherds, some less, some more. But we're all in this together. We can't just say, oh, well, she's a pastor, I'll let her get on with it. Yeah. Finally, who is caring for you? If we are caring for others, we need to make sure that we are also being cared for, so that we're not doing it out on a limb, out on our own. That's why I keep saying we need to work as part of a team. We need to find people we can work with. We can do it with other people. Who is shepherding you? That doesn't mean, for those of you who've been in the church for many years, about the heavy shepherding, and I'm not going to go down there. Yeah? But who is caring for you? Who is working to keep you whole? And listen to them and work with them. Any questions about any of that? There's a lot of stuff I've thrown at you today. All of the stuff put up on the screen, with the exception of my gardening model, is available on the slides if you want to pick that up later. Any questions about any of that? Have I been on this too long? Yeah, get on with it, Phil. Good. Well, I'm glad you all understood all of that. Yes, later. Yeah, I'll be having your essays in. Thank you, Craig. Okay. If any of you would like prayer after the service, there will be a group gathered over there by that banner who will be very happy to pray for you, pray with you about anything. But I'm now going to hand back to Michael, who has got another one of these prayers that he's been working on for us.
We are. Am I here? Is there anybody out there? Song in that somewhere. Anyway, just before I read my last prayer, I was being asked in the interval to read the prayer that I read before. So, for all reasons, I will. O Lord, grant us the courage to go out into this world and never let the jeers of those who will laugh at us drown out the voice of truth that you plant in all men. Give us the courage to dream dreams and the strength to make them real. And if this be madness that we have, let it only serve your purpose, and we will envy no man that the world calls sane. Amen. Very touching that was when I wrote that with that young lady at Mind, because she came to Christ. It was brilliant. But anyway, now for our closing prayer. Lord Jesus, we'd like to thank you once again that we can come together in your holy name. Each one of us here will now go home into our everyday lives and carry out our duties accordingly. May the road rise up to greet you. May the wind be always at your backs. May the sun shine warm on your face and the rains fall softly on your fields. And until we meet again, may God hold you in the palm of his hands. Amen. All right, if you'd like to help with the chairs or whatever else you can help with, it'd be most appreciated.